Good morning, family of God. Have you ever stopped to think what an absolute privilege it is to belong to the family of God, with the Creator of all things as our loving Father? And this is something that I don't think I've ever recovered from. You know, I've been out there, I've been in the world with nothing to stand on, and the difference that it's made to my life to be with God and in the family of God has been incredible. And I don't shut up about it. I don't stop talking about it, because it's, to me, it's one of the most amazing things. And, you know, I'll share that with anybody who's willing to listen, the amazing stuff that he's done in my life. And I know he's done amazing stuff in your life as well, because I've heard some of your stories. And it's good to tell each other our stories. It's good to tell each other what God's doing in our lives, what he's done, what we know he's going to do, because we've had the prophetic words. So we serve an amazing God. And I love singing that God, that song that Jack and Jesse brought, How Great Is Our God. I sang that on the Mount of Olives about 3 years ago with 2,000 other Christians. And it was one of those moments, you know, you get those significant moments. And I just stood there and I thought, he is coming back. You know, he is coming back for us, his bride. And it was just, I mean, you read it in the Bible, don't you? You see it, it says he's coming back. But you get these times where that word just goes in on a deeper level. So that just brought it back to me. I just remember that feeling, standing on the Mount of Olives, and my legs were like jelly with the presence of God on me. And I've never forgotten that. And yeah, it was brilliant. Thank you. So, I've never recovered from the fact that the one who sustains all things chose me, and he chose you, and he chose you. He chose each and every one of us. And it says so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, even as in his love he chose us, he actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight, even above reproach and before him in love. For he foreordained us. He destined us. He planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ with the purpose of his will. And that's an amazing scripture to meditate on. When you just don't feel loved, when you just don't feel significant, when you just don't feel secure. And if you just meditate on that, you know, he chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us. It's like, wow. You know, you just let that word just work in your spirit. And just remembering that you belong to him. And nothing can compare to that. And because we've been adopted into his family, that also means that we're brothers and we're sisters in Christ, and the church, as we know, becomes our spiritual family. And Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, we are created for community, we're fashioned for fellowship, and we're formed for a family. And whether we like it or not, we're connected to each other. Ephesians 4 verse 16 says that the church in all its various parts is closely joined and firmly knit together. And this actually goes against today's culture, which has such a focus on independent individualism. That's quite a hard word to say up here. People believe that this sets them apart, this independent individualism. It sets them apart from the crowd. But the truth is, it actually creates a sense of having no identity. And it's a lie. It's just another one of those subtle lies that the enemy has weaved into the fabric of society. And it actually feeds into an orphan spirit, which again is so prevalent in today's society, and I think particularly amongst the youth, that sense of just not belonging. You know, so they have these gangs because it gives them the sense that they actually belong to something. You know, no matter how bad it is or what goes on, it just gives them this sense. Everybody wants to belong. Everyone wants to be a part of something that's happening where they can connect. And we can't learn to love in isolation either. You know, we have to be around people, and God wants us to grow in our love for each other. And church is a great place to start actually practicing how to love. You know, you're getting amongst a group of people and amongst all the challenges that that sometimes involves, but it's a really good ground, you know, training ground for learning to love each other. So today I'm actually going to talk about authentic fellowship and how to cultivate community amongst us. And I've actually used some illustrations from my own life because I've walked some of this out, you know, I've gone from one place to another with this. And I just really want to share some of my journey that, you know, that I've experienced with that. And I may be a bit transparent at times, but I just hope you don't mind and, you know, that I can share those things with you because we're talking about authentic fellowship. So it's good to be transparent. It's good to, you know, reveal parts of ourselves to each other because that's how we get to know each other, which I'll go on to say more of in a moment. So how can we build true fellowship amongst us? And for you, those of you that might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm quite happy with the fellowship that I've got, you know, in my life with other Christians or my family or whatever, you know, and that's great. That's brilliant because we can all learn from each other. But why not take the opportunity to deepen those friendships, deepen that fellowship that you've already got? Because I've experienced it that I've never really arrived with God, you know, there's always more. There's, you know, this journey that he takes us on, and I've never really got there because I've just discovered, you know, as I think I've arrived somewhere, he's showing me something else, and it gets, you know, and it increases. So I'm always pressing in for more of what he's got, you know. I just can't get enough me. And he's always willing to take us as deep as we're willing to go with him as well, you know. Always willing to take us as deep as we're willing to go. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to John 15, verses 12 to 14, please. Okay, John 15, verse 12 to 14. Okay, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, but talking to us. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has shown greater affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. Turn with me now just a couple of pages back to John 13, verses 34 and 35, and this really is just kind of emphasizing that same word again. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another, just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, and if you keep on showing love amongst yourselves. So love begins amongst us. Yeah, it starts in him. It started in him. And it's his idea first, but he wants us to do it, because as Dave Jones said last week, he loves it when we copy him. He loves it when we imitate him. And God wants his family to be known for its love, even above our doctrinal beliefs. It's love. It's always love. And Colin talks about that, doesn't he? Love, love, love. You know, it's the most powerful force there is. And love amongst us is to be our distinguishing mark. It's what sets us apart. It sets us apart from the world, the way that we love, which is not the way that the world loves. So here we are in church, and it's a good learning ground, practice ground for learning to love each other and love each other in spite of our differences, because we're all different. And when we come together with all our differences, it's a really powerful witness to the world. When I was out in the world, I was always looking for people that were just like me. I needed to connect, and that's what I was saying earlier. Everybody wants this feeling that they belong somewhere. And I always tended to gravitate towards people that were just like me. They thought like me, they talked like me, you know, they had experiences like me, because I had to identify. There had to be this identification with somebody. And I just sought those type, you know, that type of person out, somebody just like me. And I thought it gave me a sense of value. I thought that it actually, you know, gave me a sense of identity. But again, it's another one of those lies that the devil likes to weave in. And it's not true. And basically, my value and my security today is rooted in God. And I actually celebrate differences. And I seek out people who are different to me. You know, they think differently because I'm challenged by hearing different, you know, ways of doing things, things that people experience. And, you know, so I'm not looking today to find people that are just like me. And praise God, you know, that we're all different and that we can all celebrate one another's differences because, you know, we're all made so different, and we can play our part in his intricate plan and in our own unique way. There's a place for every one of us, you know, in the body of Christ. So there we are. We come together with all our differences and our diversity, and we demonstrate this powerful witness. And that's why a multicultural church has power. Can we have a look at the vision statement, Tom, please? Thank you. There it is. River Church Slough aims to create relational, multicultural community, don't worry, united in a desire to pursue the presence of God and be changed by his Spirit so we can change the world on our doorstep. It's in our DNA as a church to create relational, multicultural community. God has placed within us the ability to create relationships and build community. It's in our vision statement. If we come here, that, you know, that truth gets woven into the fabric of who we are. And he's sown it into each one of us, the capacity to grow intimate relationships. It's there in our DNA. Whether we actually enjoy building relationships or not, it's there. And God wants to develop that amongst us. And his reason for encouraging us to knit together and form strong bonds and pursue his presence and be changed by his Spirit is so that we can change the world on our doorstep. I mean, you know, that is, it happens here. It starts amongst us. And what happens here amongst us when we take it out there, you know, it impacts the world because we're showing them something different. We're showing them something unique. And I think that's just the most amazing mission statement, vision statement. And our witness to the community has greater impact when we're actually doing life together, when we're experiencing life together and we're sharing life together. As we grow in our love for each other, it strengthens our witness to the world. And it's about his presence, ultimately. And the word tells us that when two or more are gathered together, he's in our midst. And it's about how we're going to host that presence amongst us when we do come together. So what are those expressions of love between us? How can we lay down our lives for each other? How can we creatively care for each other? So let's not disregard what God is currently doing amongst us, but it's about building and deepening those relationships and making our church family more loving and treating other believers like members of my own family, because that's what we are to each other. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "So then, as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. And be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers." So here's a rundown of some of the things that the Bible says about how we are to love one another and lay down our lives for each other. I don't have all the scripture references, but they're there. And I'm sure you can add to them as well. We are to pray for each other. We're to encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honour each other, and bear each other's burdens, forgive each other, and submit to each other, and be devoted to each other. And in Acts, you can see that the Christians in Jerusalem, well, they were purposeful, intentional, and I think very obvious about their commitment and their love to each other. And there was this distinct devotion amongst them. It was their distinguishing mark, which would have been noticeable. It would have been of impact to those around them. So I just want to remind us of Acts 2, starting in verse 42. I think most of us have we're familiar with this scripture. And I remember when I first came to River Church, when we had a midweek meeting. It was actually the first midweek meeting that I was in. Tom brought this scripture, and we looked at this one. And it's just good to remind ourselves of it from time to time. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and the fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and a sense of awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles. And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ, they were united, and together they had everything in common. And they sold their possessions and distributed the price among all, according as any had need. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose, and in their homes they broke bread. And they partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just, wow. I know our lifestyles are different today to what they were in Acts 2. And Slough's quite a large town, and geographically we are kind of spread around. And I have been to the old city of Jerusalem, and I should imagine everything was in walking distance. It's not a very big part of Jerusalem, the old city. But God tells us in his word not to forsake the fellowship of the saints, and truly building community is, it's a sacrifice. It takes time, it takes effort, and it requires something from us. We have to give something of ourselves. And it isn't easy loving each other all the time. We can frustrate, irritate, and hurt one another because we're imperfect. And John Donne quote says, "No man is an island entire of itself. The truth is, we are part of a continent with those around us touching and affecting one another. We rub against each other, which isn't comfortable all of the time. And we learn to love each other in spite of everything and be shaped and molded into his likeness." And this moves me on to my next point, which is, how do we do authentic fellowship? Okay. It's not an aside to loving each other. It's the outworking of us knowing who we are in Christ, that we have been adopted, and we talked about that earlier, that we belong and that we are completely loved by him. And when we're in that safe place with God, when we're in that place of knowing who we are, then we are free to love others and actually create relationships that are honest. Our whole lives can change by simply capturing the fact that we are loved. You know, that one thing, we talked about it earlier, love. It's love. And so much flows out of that truth. And I've experienced that in my own life. But when I, you know, connect with the fact that I am loved by the Father, you know, all things become possible for me. And it's the same for every one of us. You know when we know that we are loved it's amazing what we can do you know when we know that we're connected to him and that we have a place in his heart. And your relationships change when you know that you're loved by the Father. You know, I've seen it in my own life. Remarkable things that have happened in my relationship with my mum. You know, oh, I couldn't even be in the same room with my mum. You know, it was so painful. And now, you know, I gave up something on Thursday that I wanted to do to be with my mum, you know, because I enjoy her. And it's just remarkable, you know, because I've connected my heart to his heart, and it changes everything. And it allows that love just to permeate. And awesome. And the Oxford English Dictionary describes authentic, because I love looking in the dictionary when I'm going to use a word. I want to know fully what that word means. And of course, you've got the Greek and you've got the Hebrew and all of that as well. And it's a good to do a word search in different. And I think Mary's nodding with me over there because I know she loves all that as well. But the Oxford English Dictionary describes authentic as genuine, reliable and trustworthy. It's something we all want in our fellowship with each other. Genuine fellowship, not superficiality. I know we all want that, you know. And there is a place for general chit-chat, you know. And sometimes that's the thing that connects us. You know, we start to chit-chat and then it goes deeper and it goes deeper. And authentic fellowship involves heart-to-heart sharing. It happens when people start to get real about who they are. It happens when we share our hurts, our failures. It happens when we admit our fears and we admit our doubts. And it happens when we acknowledge our weaknesses and yet we don't stay in that place. We actually reach out to one another and ask for help and prayer. That's not always easy, you know. It's not always easy. 1 John 1 verses 7 to 8 says, "But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin and guilt. And if we say we have no sin, we delude and lead ourselves astray. And the truth is not in us and it doesn't dwell in our hearts." So when we walk in truth, when we allow God's light to keep on searching us and highlighting those things in us that hold us back from walking in the fullness of his plan. Just allow him to just shine that light, you know. When we're honest with ourselves and truth dwells in our hearts, it creates a space for us to be honest with each other. It just opens up a whole new channel when we can get honest in our hearts. So creating authentic relationships involves a risk. It's about us being open and honest about our life, which, as I've said, it's not easy to do. And it requires a mixture of courage and humility. And we do risk exposure, rejection. But in the process, we're facing those fears. We're walking through those fears. And we know that when we've got Jesus with us, we can face anything. In my experience, God is always eager to pin down in me any sign of or fear of rejection, or he's quite happy to put me in situations to show me, you know, that it's there. It needs to be revealed. And oftentimes these things don't come out unless I'm actually exposed to something that brings up that thing in me that is uncomfortable. And I don't know about you, but there have been times when I have acted in a superficial manner. You know, we're talking about being authentic and, you know, I have. There's been times when I've done that. And when I haven't felt safe enough, that's when I found that it tends to crop up. When I don't feel safe enough to be who I am, and that's what God deals with in me, you know. And for whatever reason, I've walked away from that situation and I've had a bad taste in my mouth. And I felt the Holy Spirit all over my case, which is a really good thing when that's happened. And I feel a sense that I've copped out, you know. And it used to happen often. It happens less and less today. And a couple of years ago, I had a friendship somewhat like that, which highlighted that in me and illustrated that to me. And I really loved this lady, and I still do. I still do. I still see her from time to time. And I struck up this friendship, and it wasn't long before I was into the friendship that I wasn't experiencing the freedom to be who I was. But I couldn't quite get my finger on it at the time. I knew that I wasn't feeling able to express myself as fully as I would like to have done, and I felt a bit oppressed. But I recognized later that it was I was uncomfortable with some things in her, and I was kind of coming under that. And I didn't have the courage at the time to actually challenge her about it. I just didn't know where to start. I didn't have the courage. And it came through, I think it was through a fear of conflict that it came up. And that actually was highlighted to me when I was on the big year. You know, you go on the big year and things do get revealed. And I knew that being on the big year would generate a change in me and that it would bring change to relationships that I had. And not long after that, you know, Kristen actually prophesied something over me to do with a friendship, and I knew what it was. And I thought, well, God's spoken now, so something's going to shift and something's going to change. And it wasn't long after that that the friendship started to bow under the transition, you know, it's the natural outworkings of us changing. And I stopped playing the game, you know. I began to sort of express and release more of who I was in Christ, and I started to establish some boundaries as well. And I took the risk. You know, I felt strong enough to start taking a risk in that friendship to be more authentic. And I even thought, well, I'd much rather be without this friendship than, you know, operate in a way that's not actually true and genuine to me. And yeah, generally those things can be worked out amongst us when, you know, generally on the whole when we're working through stuff, you know, when we're in that place of being honest that I spoke about, when we're walking in the light, you know, and we can then speak the truth to each other, you know. And the Bible tells us to do so in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head. It says, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things. And this leads me on to my final point, which is about cultivating community and how that does take honesty. And Colin talks about the importance of actually establishing rules of the community. I know sometimes we think, oh, rules, I don't like that word. It leads me back to my first point about how everything begins with us loving each other and how we need to love one another to tell each other the truth. And I've taken a bit of a journey with that stuff, and I'd just like to share something else with you that God had to change in me. And I understood the concept of boundaries, okay? And I understood how to establish boundaries. And I also had an understanding of the love of Jesus. And I was experiencing that love. But I couldn't, in my relationships with people, marry up the fact that boundaries and love actually went together. I found it really easy to set a boundary with somebody when I was angry, you know, and I wasn't loving them. It was easy. I didn't have a problem at all. But when I was loving somebody, and they may have been doing some stuff that wasn't comfortable for me, I would find it really, really difficult to marry the two together and actually say, well, it's more loving for me to speak this to this person, and it's really helpful for them to hear this. I struggled with that, and it took time for me to learn that the two were actually, you know, and it's so important in community that we have boundaries with each other, that we understand and learn about each other, what, you know, what is comfortable for one person may not be for another, and we need to let each other know when things, you know, are not comfortable for with us. And yeah, so there was I not able to connect the two. But God showed me that he has certain rules in his backyard, you know. There's things he tells us, I don't like that, I do like that. He lets us know, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like. And he tells us that this behavior or that behavior will hurt us or others or him. And he tells us this because he loves us. You know, it's that simple. He loves us. So not establishing boundaries can hinder growth and development in the community of believers in the same way that not respecting the boundaries of others can also do. And cultivating community and authentic fellowship can also be hindered when we're carrying hurts, unhealed wounds, when we've got unforgiveness, offence. You know, that's a difficult one, offence. Jesus said, in the last days, many will be offended. And I believe he was talking about, you know, we really need to work through that. And then there's rejection. We've talked about that. And there's walls and there's defences that have been erected that we put up to keep others out. And it's through fear. It's for a fear of the very things I mentioned a moment ago. Fear of being hurt. Fear of rejection. And oftentimes those walls and defences have been put there to self-protect. Yeah? Because on some level we don't feel at that time that we're able to take care of ourselves within relationships. So we keep our distance and we don't really let anybody in case they really get to know us and they might reject us, and it goes on. And God is so good because he will allow us to have our walls, and, you know, for as long as we think we might need them, because he's not in the business of tearing down our walls. He's not in the business of pulling down our defences until we're actually ready. Until we're ready to let him in to do the healing, the repairing and the restoration. And God spoke to me about this just a few years back. Not a few weeks back, just it was a few years back. He showed me that whilst I was so busy running around trying to protect myself from further hurt or wounding, or he just couldn't come in. You know, when I was doing those things to avoid getting in touch with certain things, he just couldn't get in there. And we do have to get to a point where we're willing to lay all of that down for the sake of creating healthy relationships and walking in freedom. And I think sometimes if we've got walls and barriers and defences with God, you know, until they come down, it can be very hard for us to create authentic relationships as well. So if we're keeping God at a distance, that will get reflected in our relationships. I'm going to start winding down now, but I just want to say that from my own personal experience, he's the only one who can truly heal that pain. And we've let him in, we have let him in, and part of our recovery from hurt was actually admitting my pain and yielding to the healing that is available. And then, you know, then I become free, you know, to love others and allow them into my life. Because I've learned that my true identity, and this is, I think, fundamental to a lot of this, when we know we're loved by him, our identity is in being a child of God. You know, we're his kids. There's a special place in his heart for each one of us. I think when we start to really connect to that, you know, as I said earlier, it just changes everything. And knowing that he's never, ever, ever going to leave us or forsake us. And when my faith is in that truth, it frees me up to connect with others. It frees me up to have relationships that I've only dreamed about, you know, dreamed about having those kind of relationships where I can, you know, share my heart. So it's sort of like, how can we this week, questions we can ask ourselves, how can we this week take a step or an action to connect with somebody amongst us, you know? How can we make an accessible and practical response to what's been said today? You know, it's really good to quite quickly go out and put into action something we've heard, you know, when we hear the word. I think Bill Johnson said that, actually, that we hear the word, but if we can actually do something to establish it quite quickly after we've heard it, then, you know, it takes root in us. So, you know, how can we make an accessible and practical response to what's been said today? It is really easy to leave here at the end of a meeting and come back next week not having spoken to anybody. I know, because I've done it myself. I think we've all done it, you know, at times. We've gone out, we work, we have demands on us, we have this going on, we have that going on, all sorts of stuff. And you just get immersed in the middle of your week, you know, and then Sunday comes around again. And there's so many demands on us, you know, and it can make it difficult to cultivate community. But I think when we're intentional, you know, it's that I find for me when I purpose something in my heart and I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do it, whatever it might be, even if I don't feel like it. Even if I don't want to, I'm going to do this, you know. And I have to be deliberately intentional at putting things into action. It might just be talking to somebody you may not have spoken with before, you know. That might be your first step out of a comfort zone in terms of fellowship and connecting. It might be asking someone to fellowship over coffee, over a meal, or asking someone to pray with you as well. And these things of themselves don't necessarily build community on their own. But when we make a conscious effort, it's that purposing in our heart, making a conscious effort to make a heart connection with somebody, and then build on that, and then purpose in our hearts that we're going to press in for more. Because as I said earlier, there's always more. There's always more with God. Then we begin to look like that glorious bride that Jesus gave up everything for. You know, and we, you know, the world takes a look and says, what's going on over there? You know, what's happening over there? Let's go and have a look and see what's happening over there. There's something different going on with that group of people over there, the way they do things, the way they relate, you know. It's that thing about the distinguishing mark of love being amongst us. And we all play our part in that. And it's up to each one of us to create a place amongst us where it's safe enough to us to share our doubts and our fears and our hurts and our joys as well, you know. And a place where, you know, we can come and we're not going to be judged. You know, we're just going to be loved, loved back to life or whatever it is that's needed. And I believe that that's what is real community, at the heart of real community. I'm actually going to move into a time of communion in a moment. And I think that'll give us an immediate opportunity to actually respond to the message. But first of all, I'd just like to pray. So could you please stand? Thank you. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the love that's already amongst us, Father. The love that I see with my eyes when we come together, the love that I feel in my heart when we come together, Father. And I just pray, Lord, for that love to just grow and increase amongst us, Father. That you, Lord, will work in our hearts to draw us together, Father, to knit us together, Father, with your love, by your love, Father. And authentic fellowship, Father. We thank you for what's already with us, but we're here and we're asking for more of you, Father. More of you in our hearts, more of you in our lives, more of you in our relationships with each other, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll just come and you'll work in our hearts, Father, and you'll just speak to us through the coming week, Father, about ways we can grow in this area, Father. Things that we can do, practically do, Father, to draw us closer together, Father. We know that you are amongst us. Your word says you're in the midst of us, and we see evidence of that every time we come together, Father. And we just ask to grow in the things of you amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.